episode of our podcast. It's all about superannuation and helping you understand your super so you can get a better outcome. I'm Nigel Baker from CNTM, and our mission is to help all Australians understand their super better and get the best out of it. So we've built a site to help you access information. CNTM means knowledge in Latin, through advisors, so advisors can help more people. They can obviously focus on complex clients, but give many more people access to the information so that they can get better outcomes. That's all via education. We strongly believe that financial literacy is the key to some of the success, and to help you, sift through all the noise and get to the good stuff. So today we're going to talk about investment returns, and it's a huge topic in super. There's so many ads on TV everywhere about, the best performing returns funds and where to invest and where to get the best return. So we're going to break that down and really bring it back down to basics. And really, most people say, well, what return should I expect? Or I underperformed, or I should be doing better. But what does that sort of mean, and where are they getting that from? So in today's episode, we're going to break that down and really go through a few key fundamentals that will help you understand where returns really come from. So where do returns come from? Really, does it come from the product? Does it come from the fund you're in? Does it come from some mystical person, some guru? No, none of that is where returns come from. Your returns actually come from what you're invested in. So are you invested in shares? Are you invested in cash? Are you invested in bonds? That's where returns come from. And all those funds and all those super funds are all investing in the same shares. So they're all competing against each other, but they're all investing in the same thing. So really, for you, what matters is what you're invested in. And they call this in the industry your asset allocation. So there's research over decades and decades, particularly by a group in the US called dowbar.com. I'll reference to it in the notes. They do a lot of research showing where to explain where returns come from. And most, over 90% of your return will come actually from that asset allocation decision. So that only leaves a relatively small amount that comes from which stock you're in and market timing and things like that. Actually, they're minute and they're not worth worrying about. So all the noise out there about which stocks to buy, which fund, which hot fund, it's all irrelevant for a long-term investor like you who's got super, and this is such an important asset class. So let's focus on what asset allocation is. So what is it? It just means, are you invested in shares, cash, bonds? And we're all invested in different things and we're all different. So what's the right asset allocation? Well, it's the right one that's for you, the one you can hold on to. So if you've got 100% shares, obviously it's a rocky ride. If you can close your eyes and go to the Antarctic for 20 years and come back, you'll probably do okay. But the problem with investments is actually investors. So the problem with investments is investors. Our emotions get in the way. And we want to chop and change. And like last year, so many people are upset with their returns last year. It was a tough year in markets, so they're going to change. But rather than stick to perhaps their long-term strategy. Now, they shouldn't stick to their long-term strategy if it was the wrong strategy to start with. But if they're in the right strategy, then you hang in there, you might make some minor tweaks, but you stay in there if you're in the right strategy to start with. So let's break it down and get a bit of an understanding of, well, what returns should I expect and where do they come from? Just bear with me while I scroll down. Okay, so we're going to start with cash. Cash is cash, easy to understand. At the moment, cash rates have gone up considerably over the last couple of years. You can get some great cash returns. Well over 3%, some are offering over 4% right now. We sort of look at cash as sort of term deposits as well. So, high earning cash accounts, you might have a working cash account in your super fund. That's not going to earn a lot of money, but at least it's now earning better than zero. So you don't want too much there, but that might be there just for where you're contributing money into. If you're older, it might be where you're paying pensions out of. It might be covering some of your costs or insurance premiums. So you need some money in cash. The older you are, you need more because you need to live off that money. The younger, you don't need too much cash in your super fund. Pretty easy to understand. I think most people get cash. Bonds and fixed interest, probably one of the most misunderstood asset classes, but a very important asset class in your super fund. A bond, or what they often call fixed interest, I don't know why they're called fixed interest, that's not a great word for them, but effectively a bond is you're lending money to a company or a government and they pay you back your money and they pay you interest, what they call a coupon during that time. So what does that mean for you? Well, it's a bit better return than cash. It's not as risky as shares. So they sit in this sort of what they call your safer part of your portfolio. bonds can still be risky, so you want to diversify still, and you don't want to be chasing returns. You don't want to be chasing bonds that are paying, you know, 20% return when shares don't even give you that return. So what's that saying? That return is saying very high risk. So what you're really investing in is an asset class that gives you access to income, potentially higher returns than cash over time, and they have performed better than cash over time. Not maybe last year, but over long periods of time. And last year was a very rare year for bonds. You get liquidity, you get access to global markets, an investment class is actually a bigger market than share markets in many markets. So it's a big asset class. Most super funds do hold it. Not many people understand bonds, but they're very important. And they can provide a bit more liquidity and access as well. So especially if you're older and you've got more need for your income requirements and you don't want to have too much in cash, well, your bonds can be where you might draw money down from time to top up. They also reduce volatility. Now, in investment terms, you know, we've got portfolios that bounce around over time, and by having bonds in there, you're sort of softening that out. It's like the suspension in a car. So a car with no suspension, it's going to bounce around through all the holes. If you get a bit more bonds in there, it's going to soften those ups and downs a bit and give you a smoother rate of return. Particularly as you get older, that's desirable. It also reduces a bit of that point in time risk. So if I'm 65 and about to retire, well, I might not want all my money in shares, because if the market falls 20% this year, then I've taken that hit straight away. So the bonds just take away some of that downside risk as well. So a really important asset class. And the return you should expect, well, bonds over time have performed a little bit over cash rates over time. So if we've got long-term bond rates, bond returns, it's around the 4 to 5 to 6% mark for a relatively, you know, low risk bond portfolio over long periods of time. So again, that's pretty good. Again, when you're looking at long-term cash rates of around 2 to 3. So that's what you might expect going forward. That's the past, but that's what you might expect going forward. The next asset class is one that many people are invested in, but maybe don't really understand it as well as they should, and therefore get caught up with the wrong type of investments. And sometimes that means they make poor decisions and they pull out at the wrong time, etc. And that's shares. So shares are an emotional investment because they're priced daily and on the news, and there's all sorts of news around what's going on in the world, and people get a bit nervous. But when we look at what a share is, what you're investing in is a company. And you're investing in the future earnings of that company, and therefore you get a dividend and potentially the price goes up. And if you look at that as a whole, what you're buying into is really the minds and the wisdom of all these people who've started companies. So people who've started basic companies like railroad companies once upon a time, and steel mills and mines, to Apple and technology companies and all sorts of fascinating things in between. And that's amazing. So you get to buy into that. And so if you buy one company, it's high risk. You could pick the winner. But if we go back in time 30 years, it would be statistically impossible for someone to pick one share and that be the winner over 30 years. And it's high risk for your super. And you don't need to do that to get good returns. So don't do that. I mean, this is general advice, but you know, you want to look at a shares as you're capturing market returns from effectively capitalism over time. And the capitalist model basically says, if we take our money out of cash and we put it into things like shares, then we expect a rate of return. And so again, if we put that money into the market in a diversified portfolio, never look at it again, you should get a better return than cash over the next 5, 10, 20 years, because that's just capitalism working. Now, you could get in the wrong share. Again, if you pick one share, it could be a dud, it could go broke. If you pick 5 shares, they might all be good, they might all be bad. So you've got to diversify that risk out and be comfortable that the long-term rates of return. So in Australia, the long-term market returns here around 8 or 9%. If you tilt that to a bit of value companies or small companies, you might get another percent. In the US, we've got longer periods of data, so we can go back 50 years plus, and we've got about 11% return. Now, I'm saying around because it depends what month you pick, what day you pick. You know, people. So it's around that over long. If I pick January versus December, you can get slight differences in return, but over long periods. So that's why we sort of say around that sort of number. And so that's the past. Should you expect that going forward? Probably. We don't know exactly, but we've got lots and lots of data now for, you know, decades and decades. So you might expect similar rates of return going forward, but you certainly expect to get better rates of return than cash over time. And so your objective as an investor to have an expectation of what the sort of return is and how to capture that efficiently. And if you can do a little bit more than the market, that's great. But if someone's trying to tell you they're going to give you double the market return, then, you know, really be careful. as we said, there's lots of people out there who are trying to pick the winner and try to tell you that they've got the insight to pick the top 10 stocks, the top 5 stocks, the top 100 stocks, whatever it is. The reality is the data shows us over the last 20, 30, 40, even 1 year that it's very, very rare that someone gets that right time and time again. And so, and you don't need to do that. To be a successful investor, you don't need to have those tips or that guru investing your money. It's just not required. You can have a great outcome. You can capture these market returns without having that and having the stress of having to chop and change all the time. Then you've got international shares. So same concept, you're buying into companies, but of course you're getting access to global markets all around the world. The US is the biggest stock market in the world. Most of the big companies go and list over there, from even Australia. Some of our big companies go and end up listing over there, Chinese companies and the like. So it's the world's biggest market, but it's just over 50%. So you've still got other big, UK, Europe, Germany, etc., and all sorts of countries in between, down to the emerging markets, the Brazils and South American companies and some of the African countries, etc. So a lot of Australians will have more exposure to Australia, obviously. That's our home bias. We've got good dividends here. We don't have to worry about the currency, but we're only a small part of the world. So it does make sense to have some diversification and to get access to some of these other industries that we don't have access to here as well. And it does help diversify the portfolio as well. Again, the more we can have our portfolio as smooth as possible, there are going to be ups and downs, but the more we can smooth that out, then the better for everyone. Now, the other asset class, and in the paper here, we've got a chart which talks about the efficient frontier. It starts with cash, low risk, low return, goes out to shares, which are high risk, high return. And then the far right-hand side is your alternative assets. Now, what does that mean? Things like hedge funds, private equity, crypto, currencies, all that sort of stuff. So that's right off on the high risk. And when crypto came around, our discussion with everyone was saying, look, most retail investors don't invest in currencies. We want to understand the type of return we're going to get for risk. And for most investors in their super, they don't want to lose their capital. So you don't want to invest in something where it could go to zero. So if there's any chance of that, you want to stay away from it. So some of these high risk investments, they might not be suitable for everyone. I mean, there's some potentially high returns, but there's massive potential losses there. And do they really add to your portfolio? Are they going to help you get to where you need to be? Maybe not. So some people might have a small percentage of them, but they might not be required for most people. But that's an asset class that's out there. Relatively high expense, normally relatively expensive as well. And of course, property. We all love property, Australians. We've mainly got exposure for a house, maybe investment property, and super funds invest in property as well. Office buildings, big warehouses, things like that is what they tend to invest in. Great asset class, long-term returns, again, from a commercial, industrial sort of rate of return. Again, you're looking around that 8 or 9%. So similar to shares. Again, a bit of diversification, sometimes a bit of higher income. Some property funds are not listed, so they're not quite as liquid. You can't get your money out as easily as others. But there's lots of listed alternatives as well. So, and we'll talk more about property in a future podcast, because particularly in super, some super structures like self-managed super funds can have direct property, and we'll run through the pros and cons of that. So great asset class, obviously, again, part of a diversified portfolio makes absolute sense for Australians. So at the start of this podcast, we talked about, well, what should you expect then? When people look at their statements from last year, they're probably going to be a little bit disappointed. And we've got some info here in the notes, and it talks about some example portfolios. And again, disclaimer, it's all past data. We can't promise what that will look like going forward, but there's example portfolios of like 0% shares out to 100% shares. And you can see some of the rates of return there. So if you look at the annualized return, if you were 100% in bonds over the last 20 or so years, you might have had a return around 6%, and that's a pretty low risk portfolio. And if you had a portfolio with shares, you might be getting about 10% over the last 20 years. So, that 4% makes a huge difference over that time period, but that's the sort of rate of return. So if you're getting much more than that, then you're obviously taking a bit more risk, and there's more downside risk as well. And again, that's the past. We don't know what the future exactly looks like, but that gives you a bit of a guide. And in your super fund, and if you're getting cumulative returns, long-term returns of, above 9%, that's really good. Like that's going to be a pretty good return. Most investors don't get anything like that. They might tell you they do, but they don't. They miss out because they get caught up in the wrong things. They lose money. Their costs are too high, and they end up getting average returns of 3 or 4% over time. So if you can capture market returns of over 9% efficiently, if that's what the returns are going forward, then you've done a good job. And that's what we want people to achieve. That's what we want people to get rid of all this noise and just capture these returns that really are there for the taking if we're sensible. So from this, again, none of those returns are promises or predictions. It's just what the past is. We can't put in here what we predict is going to be. No one knows anyway, but we can't say that's what to expect going forward. So conclusion, number one, when you're talking about returns, really take a backward step and say, well, understand where returns come from. They don't come from the product you're in or the fund manager or the advertised product or whatever, or some ad on the radio. They actually come from the asset class you're invested in. So look at that asset allocation. If you're younger, maybe you could have more growth assets. If you're older, maybe less. Everyone's a bit different. The right asset allocation is the one you can hold on to, the one that's right for you. You can make that decision yourself, or you can get some advice around that and try and work out what's right for you. Consider some of the historic returns. So before you start jumping at people saying, oh, I got this return, got that return, look at the data. Like if the data over the last 50 years says that someone in a high growth fund got 9.5% and your friend's telling you they got 20%, well, something's not right. So, you know, just look at the data, look what's real, and bring it back down to, you know, the evidence. And if you're unhappy with returns, then review it, get an understanding, learn more about it before you make a change, really learn more about it and really get a thorough understanding. And that's what we're here to do at cntm.com.au. You can come in, check out the content, ask lots of questions. You can be connected to an advisor and learn more about it so that you're in a better position to make those decisions. So thanks for listening in. Hope this podcast and topic was really interesting. There's more notes in the notes. Please, if you are enjoying these, like it, share it, give us some feedback. That'd be great. Thanks for listening in. So thanks so much for listening in to today's podcast. Just remember, it is general information. If you need personal advice, please seek an advisor or go to our website, cntm.com.au. Log in and we can direct you if you need more help. Also, we just want to remind you, if you're loving this stuff, please like and subscribe and share it around. We're really enjoying spreading the word around Super and hope you enjoy it. So please do like and look out for the next episode. Cheers. These podcasts are general in nature. And what does that mean? Well, it means all the information in this podcast doesn't take into account any of your personal circumstances. So it can only be taken in general. It's not trying to give you specific advice. There are no mention of products or anything like that. But if there were, you would need to go and read all the product disclosure statements necessary for that particular product. We interview people and their opinions are their own. They're not giving you advice either. So if you want more information, please reach out to us. If you need personal advice, please seek an independent qualified advisor or visit our website, www.archcapital.com.au. Thanks.